So interesting stuff to talk about today, Daryl.
Yeah, what's interesting at the moment, TK?
Well, the Toronto Real Estate Board decided to release their monthly stats for the month of June, Daryl. Did you hear?
I definitely heard.
Did you get my
And
newsletter, Daryl?
I did. It's fantastic.
Because I just want to make sure that, if anybody else wants to get that newsletter, they can let me know, telling me in the comments that they want to be on the newsletter. But as of right now, it's a, client only type of situation here.
It was really good though. And it
But
did
those,
promote the show at the bottom, which was
I
impressive.
always promote the show. Who
Yeah,
I'm all about the
you're a
show.
huge promoter of the show.
But it's funny because some people who've been getting the newsletter for like over a year said, like one person responded, oh, I didn't know you had a podcast.
You know, it's funny. So you're talking about Treb numbers, and I made all kinds of notes because I don't want to not be prepared and get a lashing again from you, TK. But
Okay.
what was interesting for me this week as these numbers rolled out is watching the various professionals trying to explain them, right? And seeing how they take the data into their own kind of way of thinking or way of looking at things or way of manipulating the outcome, let's say,
Yes.
maybe TK.
To get
And it,
everyone marching to the beat of their drum, right?
well, whatever drum they're drumming, right?
Prices are going up. Prices are going up.
It's
It's never gonna
seasonality.
go
Boom,
down.
boom, boom.
It's never gonna go
Seasonality.
down.
Yeah,
Yeah,
everything's
seasonality.
gonna be fine.
Yeah.
But TK, it
Yeah.
reminded me of back in 2008, when I would, you see that, TK? Do you hear that noise in the background? That
No.
mayhem that I made sure that we would avoid at
We're
all
good.
lengths, at all lengths. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Sorry, I'm gonna have to edit that out.
Why?
What was I talking about? So I remember back in 2008 going back into the data because what was happening around me didn't make any sense, right? Because prices were going to come down and people were talking about a crash happening and things were scary. So I had to take all the data from the last 30 years and calm my nerves, right? And make me feel like everything was going to be okay because from the sounds of it, it wasn't, right? From the sounds of it and doing my math and knowing what was really going on, I was like, I'm fucking
The
done,
spreadsheets
bro.
were
Like,
like,
this is
whew.
bad. I need to go manipulate some data to make myself feel better. And guess what happened after the end of that, TK? I actually felt kind of better. And so I see all these people putting the data together in a way that it just shows, like, the last few years they don't matter and everything's seasonal. And it's like these stories just kind of shift around from month to month. Are you frozen?
No.
Oh, okay. Are you thinking? Do I
I'm just
have you
listening,
thinking?
actually.
Oh,
No.
okay. So,
Yeah, let me know
but then
when you're done.
add to it this new insight that I have, right? Because my daughter is an admin at a busy brokerage now. And so
Ooh, inside track.
I get the tea at the end of the day from my daughter, right? I get the stories of what's going on and what's happening in the inner workings, right?
Joe doesn't have any listings. Joe has no listings. I don't know. He's
No,
at the
it's
office
not
every day,
that
but he
kind
has
of
no
stuff.
listings. What's going
But
on?
what's interesting is when I hear about the entry of data in the background, in the brokerages, and the fights that they have to have with other team admins and the struggle to get the paperwork when they need the paperwork, I can only imagine how accurate the data must be. Because I know from my experience in business that that can't be the only admin department that has that kind of issue.
Everyone, yeah.
Right. And they're all like just probably a bloody disaster in the background.
I am at a very high level compared to other realtors that have been in my offices over the years, as far as paperwork goes. And I'm brutal. Like there's all sorts of times where I'm like, like I gotta, send in that extra form, or I only sent in these ones, but now I gotta get there. And I'm being a little bit maybe humble, I guess, because I think I'm pretty good. Because the girls always tell me that, right, at the office and stuff like that. And when I hear about
you're better
other
than most,
situation,
that's for damn sure.
I'm like, how are you like even in this business here? You can't even like submit your paperwork properly and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like there are people who would be a level above me for sure. But anyways, I do pretty good. But the main thing is the what you're saying is in every office, and
in
it's
every
been like
office
that forever.
And so we extrapolate data that for sure can't be accurate on so many levels, and then we like base it on whoever, you know, like has manipulated in the way that resonates with us, right? So like if we want stuff to go up, then, you know, we like the guys who are saying that, right? And so like this is crazy, I think, because
so I'll give you my take on this. Thank you for putting this topic up, because I was kind of thinking about it too. My newsletter, right, is not a bullish newsletter.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't bearish either, though.
But it hasn't been bullish ever. And there's a reason for that, right? Is because I predominantly sell listings. That is the business that I'm in. My
list to last, baby.
My business is I'm selling properties. I'm dealing with the seller. I'm selling land, buildings, properties, whatever it is. And so I'm dealing with people where if I were to go around pumping the market, which, you know, sometimes I do, because the feeling that I have is that, you know what? I really do believe that this city still has more room to go over the last 15 years. There's been many moments like that. But if I continue to go around saying that all the time, then none of my clients would ever want to sell. They would say, well, geez, now's not a good time to sell, I guess, if it's going to go up next year. The truth is, I know, and everybody else knows, that nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
That is very clear, okay? That is very clear based on all the predictions I've ever heard ever. Nobody actually knows. So it's always about the client's individual. You're ready to retire. You're about to cash out. And you think that you can get an extra $25,000 for your home. What if all these things did happen and you waited next year and found out that you're selling for $100,000 less, you know, because you didn't take the necessary precautions? Like, how would that $100,000 affect your retirement?
So what's worse, though? Like, not losing the 100 or not getting the 100?
Getting the 25 right now or
whatever, you know? It's like,
right?
Which one's worse?
But again, that's been my sort of take on it, is because, you know, I'm in that position. That's the position I'm in, is I've got to make sure that I'm not constantly going around. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
There are people I meet with once a month who come to us and have got a listing that has expired or been terminated because they were listed from in 2022. And the agent, okay, whether they listed last year, took it off, or they've been on the market the whole time, they had an opportunity to sell when interest rates were 2-3%, way lower than they are now, depending on what month it was. Okay. But because their agent was going, well, you know, immigration, and well, you know, they're not making any houses anymore.
To the moon, baby.
And, well, you
this
know,
only
the lake
up.
Is blocking up all this valuable land that we have to build.
Greenbelt. Can you imagine if that was it? Greenbelt.
Okay,
they're never going to unlock
that
greenbelt.
That seller has lost sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, because the opportunity for them to sell was when they first listed. And there wasn't somebody in their corner saying, look, I understand you want more money, but right now, here are all the changes. Here are all the things that could happen. What if you end up making the wrong decision today and you lose even more money than you thought you would? And some of them are affected like drastically. So,
well, so the point is, and I wrote it right here, like it's in big letters. It's the only thing on my page.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a shot and I'll put it up in the editing. No one knows, right?
Yeah.
Like no one knows. So like, we're all just doing this crazy, weird dance, and you got these perma bears, like just freaking everybody out all the time. And you got these perma bulls that just look like assholes half the time, because like
only 25% of the time.
Right. And then
the other 75%, like, everyone's like, oh, I should have listened to that guy.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Like,
so you have to always check people's motives. You have to always look at where people are coming from. Yes, I have to have a bearish outlook on the market. I can't go around promising what I referred to as hope, rainbows, and, you know, unicorns for people to be able to get the most amount of money for their home. It doesn't work like that. What is it worth today based on the comps today? If you're going to imagine it's worth more because of some belief that you have and you're wrong, and that's cost you the opportunity to send your kids to university or retire or to be able to, you know, do the things that you need to do in your life, that wasn't a good bet. That wasn't worth it, right? And so you need to understand what the risks are. And the risks are very high. What are those risks right now, Daryl? What do we have right now on our plate that is threatening the health of the real estate market?
Listen, I've been saying it for a year. This renewal crisis is...
We've got a renewal crisis. We've got people who are struggling from not only further rate hikes, but the ones that have already happened.
Already happened.
No more rate hikes are needed in order for these people to be in a lot of trouble. Believe me, if you're already in that position today, an extra 1% increase on the overnight isn't going to make it any worse. Believe me, it's bad already.
No, but right? On top of the crisis, right, that's looming, now we have the I forget the name of the, it's not OSFI, but it's kind of OSFI. Anyways, they're telling the banks to
That's OSFI.
Is it OSFI?
It's
because
OSFI,
yeah. I feel like I heard another four-letter acronym. Anyways, whatever the fuck it is, they're telling the banks, hey, you guys have to ease off on the renewals, right? Especially on these variable rates that have gone hyperbolic. You have to waive some fees and you have to do 9,000-year amortizations and you got to basically do whatever it takes, right? And so I heard a very interesting take on it. I think it was on the Looney Hour. He said, like, the banks are not just going to like start waiving fees, right? Like, they're not going to give up all these profits. So what's going to happen is like some other guy's going to get it somewhere else from the bank, right? And so while it seems on the surface like the government's trying to help people, like, they're just kicking the can again. And they're flooding the market with more bullshit money, and they're keeping people in houses that shouldn't be in houses. And it's like, if you're a realtor right now and you're not saying, hey, like, I really think you should look like in Saskatchewan or Calgary or what's that province that no one knows? Manitoba?
Manitoba.
Yeah. It's like, go check them out, because you know what? TK, you know what I'm realizing? What the fuck are we doing in Toronto, man? It's so expensive. It's so stupid. Look how many people are going to have $6,000, $10,000 a month payments to own their house. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck is happening here? Why? Like, how are people? I just don't understand. And now let's go through the numbers actually quickly, because there's only...
Which one?
Well, okay. So
We're talking about the June stats still?
Let's talk about June stats, because that's what we have, even though they're malarkey, right? Okay. But I mean, I guess over time, malarkey it balances out, okay? So, but we don't care about versus last year, right? Do we?
Nobody cares about bullshit. Versus last year.
Like last year? Like even last month is kind of...
You even know what I had, like...
Did I say that? I just said the R word. Is that okay?
I'm pretty sure that's okay.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's probably like the least obscene word that comes out of your mouth.
That comes out of my mouth, but yeah, on the air, okay. I don't think I've ever said it. Anyways, sorry if I offended anybody. I hope I didn't get the show canceled.
That's okay.
Anyways, TK, you can only get great canceled time to subscribe before we get canceled. Subscribe right now.
Help us not get canceled, please. Because Daryl's foul potty language.
Hit a button somewhere on
insensitivities
screen. I'm gonna go for something, TK, for my insensitivity training. Okay, back to the numbers. Ready? Yeah. TK, active listings, okay, have gone up since last month. Okay, yeah. Who cares? New listings, old listings. It's what's active, what's for sale right now, right?
Yeah,
because there's all kinds of games and baloney, right? I think we've agreed on that in the past. Active listings make sense.
Inventory is piling up.
I don't know about piling, but it took piling. A nice little pile this month.
It's
okay?
Piled up. Yeah.
Still, sales are down 1,500, 1,600. Okay. Yep. Average price negligible. Days on market actually went down since last month. One day, I'm using the PDOM, whatever the fuck the PDOM is.
The total
is.
Amount, whether they relisted or not. Yeah.
So, but what I'm trying to say is, like, the momentum is definitely showing some softening, and then you get people coming in with the seasonality shit. And then you got people that are going back a few years and going, hold on a second. It's not acting like the seasonality normally acts. And so the numbers don't help, TK. So
the numbers do help. The numbers help show us that the market is changing direction and that it's slowing down.
No,
June is part of the spring market.
What tells us?
I'm not saying it's not going to pick up again in the fall.
We can't eliminate the last 3 years of numbers and then say it's seasonal or not seasonal. And we just have to feel what's going on. And that's why I think people like the show, TK, because you're out there. You have big insights. You're on the ground. I'm out there. I'm on the ground. We're active in the market. And that's what I think makes the biggest difference, because these numbers are bullshit. They're all versions of bullshit, and they're taken from a bunch of people that don't even give a shit about entering them or entering them properly. So how do we do this? TK, do we still have conditional offers in the marketplace?
Yes.
Okay. So that is a sign of a softer market, right? Because we know that when things are heated, there's no fucking time to think about anything, right?
Yeah.
So, but do we still have bidding wars?
You know what we have right now? We have this weird sort of market. This is something people need to be careful of, because agents are down. So sales are down a lot, right? Sales are down year over year, big time. And so people aren't selling as much.
No, year over year, they're up.
That's a month. That's 1 month. That's 1 month.
Oh, full year?
I'm talking about
rolling year to date or some shitty stat. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So the year to date sales are down, and agents are doing less sales overall.
So in the first 6 months of the year, sales are down?
Yeah, I don't have the exact number, but it's 30%+.
Whoa.
Yep.
So that means the first half of that half was really half of the second half of the half.
Yes. Yeah. And so the agents that are coming to me right now, it's there's a lot of desperation.
Desperation to sell.
So they're calling me and they're kind of oh, my client wants a really good deal. Oh, we're going to negotiate.
How do we get this thing
done? The interest rate, the market's rate. And then I'm just we're signing it back at asking price because that's what we think it's worth. And either, take it or leave it. Oh, there's no way we're going to. I said, if there's a house out there that you can get for this price and you feel like it's, a better deal, buy that one.
Yeah, if you want to go move
to.
Here's
the price that we've got for this property and let me know. And then all of a sudden it's okay, my client accepted the offer. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
And a lot of the buyer agents right now are very easy to work with, because you can just sense that they want to get it. They're working.
They need.
They're working for the seller.
Yes, they're working for us, TK.
Yeah, because they just want to get a deal done at the end of the day, and so
absolutely,
it's unfortunate, but it's part of the economics of the real estate market, which we've talked about this ad nauseum, that there's too many agents in Toronto, and this issue wouldn't happen if there was less agents. But anyways,
but hold on, how many agents are in this space that you're in, where you can take that stance as even the listing agent? Right. Where you can say, I don't really need the money right now. And my clients, we all think that it's worth this. And good luck to you. Right. Because
a
lot of
the client situation. So it shouldn't be on the listing side. It shouldn't have anything to do with the agents. Whether or not they have.
Come on. That's not real. That's not real.
No, I'll tell you what's real. That's not real.
That sale on the listing too.
No, that's not real. The more important one that is more prevalent is taking the listing or not.
Taking the listing at the stupid price.
Exactly.
And so you get some interest.
When you've got no business,
list.
You then say to the seller, sure, you want to try $3 million? Okay.
Yeah. Let's give me some exposure out in this mess. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's and that's where on the listing side, agents who are not doing a lot of business will falter. And that ends up creating a lot of pain for their sellers, because when the market's trending down and now you've been on the market 3 months and you got to drop the price, it hurts the seller.
Yeah.
Right? It's a, and sometimes we deal with clients where we tell them and we go over everything, it's case by case. But
okay, hold on. You're throwing off the analysis, okay? So we have
the sales or
bidding
the
wars still, but we
bidding
have
wars.
No, it's
yes, we do have bidding wars, but only the best renovated properties or grossly underpriced properties.
Okay, fine. So,
and I hate to talk so absolute like that. There's so many exceptions, Daryl.
I get it.
But nowhere near what we had before.
No, yeah. Okay, but that's fine. But they're still out there. But what does this mean? Okay, so it doesn't mean that the market is soft It doesn't mean that it's hot. Like, it looks like we're in like this kind of,
we're in a seller's market still because of the amount of
seller's market for sure
that's out there.
Yeah. Amount of inventory, and the price is just kind of like dancing a line right now, right? It's not like going crazy. It's not going crazy. It's just kind of so like when we hear all these articles and we see the thumbnail for even this video, right? With these extreme opinions or statements to get views, right? Yeah.
It's which is the show's narrative,
which is always the show's narrative,
right?
But like it's not good, and it's not
how do we
bad.
Get more people to watch and click? And okay, well, we better put up like this doomsday prophecy type thumbnail, and that way we can get more clicks.
But the reality of the whole situation is when you kind of just actually like take away the layers of horseshit that are everywhere and all the fucking manipulation that's coming at us from all different levels and different perspectives. And, you know, like obviously, you know, when you have all these free mediums to push out your opinion, like, why am I going to go out there and try and fuck myself? Like, right. Am I going to go out there and go like, just wait 3 more days until rates come down? I know they're coming down. It's like, it's okay. My landlord doesn't need the rent this month. And like, I don't need to feed everybody for a few more days. And I don't, you know, it's like everybody's freaked out. Everybody needs the sale. Everybody needs the money. Nobody gives a shit about who they're working for. Like, it's all willy-nilly craziness right now. And so how do you buy something in this? Meanwhile, I'm sure, like, if you talk to
the
Bald Prairie,
the same way you've always sold, Daryl.
No, you move, man. It's stupid here.
Nobody should be playing the market.
Get out of Toronto and Vancouver. It's stupid.
Okay, but nobody should be playing the market. Everybody should be saying to themselves, what can I afford? What can I buy? How much is my payment?
That's not fair.
Where am I going to live?
In the last...
I'm going to buy with that mindset.
That motherfucker told us that rates are going to be low for fucking ever, right?
Well,
and everybody
blaming
got trapped
the government
in this
or their
shit.
Employees
oh, God.
Never gotten anybody anywhere.
But
right?
you can't roll with this shit anymore. It's
yeah,
extreme.
So move to Calgary. Go move to Calgary.
You gotta move. Yeah, I'm fucking out of here. I'm not even waiting for my family anymore. I've had enough.
No problem.
It's like crazy.
We do the show virtual. It's okay. You can live wherever you want. But at the end of the day, if you want to live here,
yeah.
You know,
you gotta deal with
the rules and the game and the people and the traffic and the transit and the weather. That's it. So
it's all crazy. So hold on a sec. Are deals that are conditional falling apart, TK?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're getting
people are nervous. So interest rates, they're causing some issues on financing. We've had a few where people are mumbling about, like, I added a buyer's name the other day because they couldn't get their financing. Our closing's end of August. I've got...
what the hell does that mean?
They added another name to qualify for the mortgage because it didn't. The debt service ratios were off.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
And so
co-signer.
Basically, like just same
guarantor.
Theory. It's the same theory, but you're just adding another buyer. So they're on the hook of the same
way.
Oh,
but they have
the
title. No, it's not always
it's
the same. Yeah.
It's the same. Well, there is. It's not the same. You're right.
You can have a guarantor,
I mean,
not on title.
We don't use guarantors and we don't use co-signers in mortgages. You go on title. That's it.
So we have stuff falling apart.
We have stuff like that happening.
I just got a call from a lender of mine with a big power of sale in a area that I'm apparently considered knowledgeable in, TK, which I didn't know that existed. So that's kind of cool.
Well, if it's South of Steeles, I think you're pretty good at it.
South of Steeles. Yeah. I'm great South of Steeles, TK. But that's different. That is different. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean that they're calling me? Either it means that I know something, which I always put that way down at the bottom of the list, or it's gone through all of the good people already and they don't want it.
Yeah.
And that, in my humble opinion, is likely more realistic.
Yes. Most likely. But you and I, you know what? Me and you've been doing some big things. We've been working on some big deals lately. We've had some pretty good exposure on different sites. You know, we've had quite a bit.
I'm excited, TK.
Going on. Yeah. You know,
there's I'm always very excited about this one, TK.
And there's so more options. Like, I'm probably going to have another 3 options for you. You know, like.
So but am I the only idiot buying? Like, you got D. Trent out there and he's like, uh-oh, Daryl's like slipping. He's not negative enough right now. And
But like, the problem is that
everybody, why is everybody coming to me with the deals?
Everybody
now?
Else who's buying Daryl in the market, they're looking 1-2 years out and stuff like that. Like, you know, you're always going to be having to be a much more long term mindset than a typical buyer. Yes, a buyer right now who wants to live in their house feel good for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what's going to happen in 6 months? But I am certain, Daryl, I am certain that there is no way that the Toronto real estate, as we know it, will become less in demand in the future. There's never going to be a point where everyone's just going to be like, oh, you know what? Toronto, not cool. We're going to Calgary. We don't need to be there anymore. There's always going to be demand. And the things that you work on are bigger scale stuff that are always going to have buyers looking to buy, you know? So
that is,
it's a much different thing.
Sure.
And people can't understand that unless they're actually doing what you're doing. And the bigger boys, like, you know, they're talking 20, 30, 40 years. Like, they're like, how are my grandkids going to benefit from this? Right.
Yeah. Cause their dad's an idiot.
Yeah. See, the foresight is huge. And that's like the deals that I'm doing in Pickering, right?
But it's interesting though. Are you seeing more power sales on land? Because like, I have personally
I sent you that one.
That was a power sale?
Yeah. Remember
that assembly?
The plaza.
When was that? No, I don't remember.
It was the plaza. And then
I've been looking
at
so much shit lately. Yeah. Now my daughter brings me home 20 deals every day to analyze with her.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool.
That's cool. I like that.
It's really cool. None of them are good, though. It's
of
all
course,
just
but
like
hey,
a bunch of fucking MLS listings.
You're looking at them.
Like, are you listening to the criteria here? What's going on here?
How do you find out what the criteria is unless you find out what's not the criteria?
Well, you can listen. That helps. Okay.
No.
TK, where are we? Okay. So the market is basically kind of flattening, right? This is how I feel it is. Like, I get stories. I don't see tweets now. I see threads, TK. But, people are saying that land prices are down 25%. And I'm sitting here going, what? They are? Mm-hmm. On what? On what?
Yeah.
Like, we're about to have our good friend Greg, he's telling me that next week is actually the week where we find out like some really important stuff about the MTSA zones, right? Where we're all expecting like more density and easier application processes. And I'm sure we're all going to be super disappointed, but like next week's the week, TK.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm saying that because like, I don't know how people are analyzing stuff really right now with this expectation, right? Sellers, buyers, anybody. It's like the whole thing is a mess. I don't know how people can say the market and land is down 25%. I haven't seen it down 25% on anything I'm looking at. So maybe it's down on like the giant deals where people are totally fucked.
Well, there was a land purchase by some big boys in an area that I sold in Pickering that I told you about. And it was
Pickering, it doesn't matter.
But it was significantly less than what I was able to sell that land for because that buyer.
That
buyer bought a huge amount of property in one purchase.
Yeah.
So when you go and buy, when you're a big boy right now, and you're going to go and spend $200 million on land, who are you competing with?
Yourself, generally.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So big sites that are selling for 25% less, it's because there's no other buyers who are capable of purchasing them at that time. And so the big guys might be taking advantage of the market by getting some deals on really big things.
For sure.
But the mid-range stuff, anything between 5 and 50 million, there's no way it's down 25%.
There's no fucking way. So like, this is the thing is people put out these outrageous statements and very few people question them. And then you just like, what do you base things on other than like, look, even off camera, we have not you and me, but like with people, we have different discussions than we have on camera, right? And so those are the discussions that things need to be based on, right? Mm-hmm. Like those real discussions that we have when we're sitting there talking about how fake other people are on YouTube, right? those real discussions about what's really going on, those fucking weird stories in the background, you know, and like, I heard about this, but like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that. Sometimes you can't talk about a lot of stuff that you know too, like for legal reasons, right? Or to not get somebody else in legal reasons, right?
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, so like, you really got to find somebody with a real serious pulse on this thing. You can't just fucking go on Instagram and find some hot chick that's going to sell your fucking house for 3 months, right? Because she has 100 million people that watch her bullshit every month who are not looking at the real estate.
But I do feel like the guys that we bring on the show, like Foch and Jordan and, you know, others who are all like out there in the space, those are the guys to follow. Like, it's pretty, it makes my life a lot easier instead of having to research all this stuff all the time. I can just follow a few select people who are doing the research for me.
That's the thing.
And then I can just kind of like learn, and they do like cite their sources pretty well. So I trust it.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to what I'm saying. And I'm always saying, and I, don't get me wrong, I love those guys. They're great guys, but they know as much as anybody. Right.
Agreed.
But they're super in tune, but they are also held back by the fact that they're trying to sell people shit.
Of course.
Right.
I'm just saying there's just other bits of information to collect in different areas.
Talk to people, get to know people in the industry and gravitate to somebody great with this house plan, right? Whatever it is, buying and selling. Don't just hand it over to somebody's cousin or some guy you saw on a bench. Like, stop it. Like, the buyers, we got to take responsibility too. We got to know what the fuck is going on. Right.
Yeah.
But like, if you can't trust a realtor and you can't trust the brokerage and you can't trust the organization that governs them and you can't trust your government and you can't trust the central banks, like, and every report that comes out, 1 month you got BMO saying things are rosy, and the next month they're saying it's going to moderate. Now, and
nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
This so is
what
it is.
The fuck. Thank you for joining us for the last episode of the Canadian Real Estate Show.
You have to just gather information from our show, from other people's shows, from other articles. You do everything you can to be able to figure out what the best choice will be. So let's talk just a little bit about some of the inflationary stuff.
Interest rates and inflation? We have to talk about that.
30% of our inflation rate right now is contributed directly from the cost of interest rate increases.
Inflation on interest or on mortgage payments or mortgage rent payments. Right?
When you remove that, our inflation rate would be 2.5%.
This is the narrative that everybody that's selling
stuff. Reasonable.
I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with 2.5%.
So what about when, like, all of the people that everybody was like, will be safe because it's 5 years and they bought in 2018 and they're safe from all this pandemonium, you know, or whatever, then they bought in 2020, so they're okay, right? Like, in a year, that's a fucking ton of people rolling over. But I know, maybe rates will come down by then.
But what if the rates go back down to 3%? Right. Someone just signed a 5-year 6% mortgage. Oh, man, I thought that was the right move to make.
Right. What if you're sitting there waiting? You're waiting because it's going to come down.
My clients never ask me about like what rates to do and all that kind of stuff. And I'm glad they don't. Like, I always
tell them. What term you mean?
Yeah, like, I'll tell them what I'm doing. I'll tell them what other clients are doing. And I'll tell them to talk to their mortgage broker about it. But no one ever says to me, like, what do you think I should do, fixed or variable? So I'm thankful that that doesn't happen often. I'm sure it's happened in the past, but I don't remember it happening too often. And so how I would answer that was I tell them what I'm doing, what other clients are doing, and tell them to ask their mortgage broker, because it really is a crappy. I had to talk to my mortgage guy this week, and he, I made a comment to him, right? And I was just like, you know, so how about all those variable rates that you were telling people to get last year?
Who'd you say that to?
A mortgage guy.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And then he immediately did a good job by starting to talk about his own struggles. He's like, yeah, now all mine have all gone up and I'm negative cash flow and all this kind of stuff.
Because
like,
I'm stupid and listen to myself.
No, but everybody was doing the
everybody
same thing.
Everybody was
right?
doing it. So here, check this out, because I made this little chart here, okay? Based on the Treb Market Watch report, okay? Because you guys show like the interest rates for that month, right? 1 year, 3 year, and 5 year.
Yeah.
So I went back to see what things were like last year. Cause I was like, I don't even remember yesterday most often. Like remembering what the market was like a year ago for me, even looking at numbers, I don't remember. So I did a little bit of research and I mean, it was fucking pretty brutal last year at this time. Like the bank was raising like fucking madmen, right?
July 1st or July 7th.
Bips at a time. Yeah. Like it was it was getting intense and the market kind of froze up, right? So back then when they were like heaving rates at us, right? Or heaving hikes at us in June 2022, the 1 year was at 4.74%. So if you were listening to people that were like, this can't go on forever, it's going to break something. And in like a year from now, they're going to lower rates again. They have to, because there was a ton of fucking assholes saying that. I might've been one of them even, because that was like crazyville what they were doing. Right. And everybody, banks were starting to fail. Like things were like, it was bad, right? Maybe. I don't remember. I just look, 4.74, what you posted on this report, not you, but your band of merry brothers over there on the realtor side.
They work for us.
That work for you, like to make sure that there's enough people there to take your fees every month. 7.14%. So if you're listening to one of these guys on TikTok who's like, don't worry about it. Like, take a year mortgage. Things will be good next year. Everything's wonderful. Variable or not, these are fixed rates. You're up fucking 2.5% right now, and you are so fucked. Okay. You're so fucked. You don't even realize how fucked you are. But now OSFI or Orca or APBO or whatever the hell it's called is saying, guys, go easy on them. Just let them keep that house. This is Canada. Mm-hmm. This is the Canadian dream. They get to keep the house.
What a lot of people are doing right now is they're listing their investment properties. So we're going to see an uptick in...
Well, not everybody has that.
Well, we're going to see an uptick in rental properties.
Cottages?
We've already seen it. Secondary properties, things like that.
What's the cottage market like now, actually? Any idea about that, TK? Any idea on the cottage market? Are you...
Well, I look at...
Clientele having cottages?
I can't believe you mentioned this because I was thinking about it. There's a girl on my Facebook. I won't name the town that she's in, okay? Because that town already got a lot of negative press from our show over the last couple of years because of the huge spike in prices.
Okay. I know where we're at. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I won't mention that town.
Don't mention that town.
That's not fair to them. I don't want to take any, because, you know, we got a lot of people listening right now. Maybe someone wants to buy over there.
94% increases, right?
Yeah. I won't mention that town. Okay. Right. Because if I did, they could ban us.
A Roft.
Yeah, and then they could send Lara Croft after us to, take on the Canadian real estate show. So, okay, so I won't Bancroft it. I mean, oh, shit.
So, sorry.
Anyways, on my Facebook feed, it was always listed, sold.
6,000,000% over asking.
Now the most common post I'm seeing is new price.
Yeah, please help me.
Configured to a new strategy.
You're gonna see
offered
this
lower at a better value, like whatever the wording is.
They're gonna be people picketing outside her house soon. She sold all that overpriced real estate.
I think that there's a lot. And she's busy. She's a great agent, but just again, there's lots of things like that are happening right now in those type of cottage markets, right? So yeah. Do you want to be selling a cottage property right now? Maybe. Maybe you need to get the money out of that cottage property and to be able to put it into something better. Maybe you need to be able to pay off part of your principal on your principal residence so that you can weather this storm. Maybe you got to sell your rental property because not only are you negative cash flow on that, but your payments at home have now gone up $2,000. So now you're like, okay, I'm losing $1,000 because I bought that rental in 2021 with a line of credit on my house that I'm now paying an extra $2,000 a month to maintain. So before the rental income there, and I had to contribute a little bit of money for my income to cover the cost of the line of credit. But the guy on TikTok told me that this was a fantastic idea, is to borrow the money from the debt equity that I have in my home and to go and buy it on a rental that has, you know, in Toronto, negative cash flow, but still enough for me to be able to carry. Well, now that I went with a variable, because the same guy on TikTok told me about this great adjustable product that Scotiabank offers, that I'm going to be able to access my equity through my home equity line of credit. And then I'm going to be able to, you know, ride the mortgage interest rates and pay off the same amount of principal so that it's not static. So therefore that I'm not going to have something that's over amortized and that I'm always going to be paying off the same amount of principal every year, no matter what interest rates are. Now I'm $4,000 in the hole every single month. What do I do? And if I sell that rental property based on the...
Well, but what if you don't have a rental property or a second property?
I'm just saying that those are the things that happen when people start to
What if your income didn't go up $2,000 a month after tax?
Nobody's done. And so these are the issues, right? So I'm just giving you the
That's if it's $2,000, but hold on a sec. What if you're like a normal, typical Canadian, wherever you came from?
Okay.
You put down 35% like a good boy. You took out a $800,000-$700,000 loan.
No, you took out a $300,000 mortgage 10 years ago.
Okay.
You paid off a third of it.
Torontonian, not Canadian.
You paid off a third of it.
You paid off a third of it.
You paid off a third of it. And then you refinanced another $300,000 because you had a great business idea or something else. And now you owe $500.
Okay.
But the value of your home has gone up. And so the people right now, honestly, they have a lot of equity, okay, in their homes.
Yeah.
Where most of the people feeling the pressure from these interest rates, okay, there are people who bought in the last couple of years that are not in this position. But the people who are mostly, because again, if 65% of mortgages are coming up for renewal, the vast majority of people didn't move in the last 2 years. So they have a lot of equity in their home, but they're stuck because they have no options to move. They can't sell and just like go into a smaller home in their neighborhood. Their kids already go to school in the neighborhood. Their jobs are close by. Their parents are nearby. They're in this weird sort of dilemma. Is in order for me to get out of trouble, the only option I have is to double down and take on more debt. Go and get a second mortgage. Yep. Go and get another loan. Like to do something else to be able to keep my head above water. That's what their ideas are. And so then when I finally get there and they've already got the mortgage and that they've already got all the debt, that's when I start to have to get creative and okay, what can we do? And so can we rent out a room? Can we rent out the basement? Can we go and live at a family member's home and rent out the whole entire home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you rent out your house. So at least you've got money. Go and live for free at one of your family member's house.
Mm-hmm.
And you just cover the difference in debt now, but at least you have some renters paying and to help you with some of that mortgage.
Sounds like a dream.
All of these things have come out of my mouth in the last like month.
I suggest you find somewhere to move so you can rent your house.
As far as what options these people have than selling. They don't want to sell, Daryl. They can't sell.
We don't want to sell. Can't
Or you sell and you got to rent in that area and you're going to pay $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month to be in the house in some of these areas. So what are the options?
And this is what I'm saying. So
here's what needs to happen, Daryl. I'm sorry to say this.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
This is the way it is. And again, kind of the tone in my newsletter should tell you, I really do believe this. And it sucks to say, and it sucks that people have to go through this.
Mm.
But we need to have people eliminate some of this bad debt. There needs to be a lot of change. And hopefully that there's enough demand that everyone can just sell, get rid of all their bad debt. And then either if they want to stay in the same neighborhood, they can rent or buy something drastically smaller, like a condo. Or
this is not the way to do it though. This is fucking crazy
for us to continue to carry the debt load that we have.
Yes, but that's a different
debt
story
compared to income. For us to continue on this path is going to cause 100 years of issues. Maybe not that, maybe 30 years of problems with the economy.
Yeah, but
so if we can just get everybody, if we can just hit a really bad storm,
yeah,
where everybody is forced to sell, it's going to
it's going to
be deflationary. Prices are going to come down. There's going to be there's going to be a moment in time where people are going to be really like, oh man, real estate's not a good investment, but it'll get rid of all the bad debt.
Well,
and it'll get rid of all the people right now who are like killing themselves with 2-3 jobs, you know?
But hold on a sec.
Then we can lower interest rates, get back, you know, to where we were before. Prices will climb back up again, like they always do. The people who are sort of on the brink of collapse will all be eliminated. Everybody's debt that they have will now be serviceable because the interest rates will be lower, and the people who could have weathered the storm will still be surviving, and they'll be living with that decision they made with their however millions of dollars of mortgages.
Yes, you're right. This is how it works.
And then the money can go back into the economy.
But it doesn't have to be like this. It didn't. They didn't have to do.
I don't see. I see us dragging. They didn't have to
fucking just destroy the whole thing.
It's going to drag on for so long, Daryl. This is going to drag on forever.
But they didn't even give like new purchasers a fucking chance. Like if you took like even a 4 or 5 year fixed mortgage in 2018 at what was the rate? 3%, 3.5%. You're still fucked right now.
But you got equity.
It doesn't fucking matter. You still need the same amount of debt. You still need the same amount of debt at double the rate.
So you can't afford a house right now. You're going to sell. You're going to keep that equity. You're going to go and
sell
rent
because they're until fucking prices come assholes.
Down and interest rates come down, and then you can get back in the market again with a debt that you're able to manage.
Because they fucked up over the last 15, 20 years, they're going to destroy so many people's lives for no reason.
I understand.
The answer cannot be get rid of their jobs, kill their homes, destroy the families. Like that, there's so many better ways to fix this thing, but these motherfuckers, how TK, what do you mean there isn't?
Because the only other option is to inflate it further. It's the only other option is to pump this.
Well, why don't you slow it down like at a more reasonable pace and put some kind of other roadblocks in the way for people?
People's lives are going to be affected for much longer.
People are going to be fucked. You said this before.
I know, but you said this before that losing everything can sometimes be one of the greatest gifts that you ever give yourself. Because you get a chance to restart.
Yes, in the fucking hindsight, 15 years later.
Okay.
I have the luxury of saying that because I climbed the mountain and I got back to the top again, TK. But most people don't do that. They get fucking pummeled and they're like, hold on a sec. What did I even do? Now I'm on the street or I'm begging mom to move back in. Like, what the fuck did I even do? Like, I put 35 down. I took a mortgage. I work every day. I work my ass off. And now this is what's happening to me. People are going to fucking go crazy, TK.
I know.
People are going to go crazy.
It's not what I
want to
say. It's not what I want to see. It's not what I want to have happen to anybody.
There's got
to
be a better way.
It's just the amount of debt that I'm seeing on people's properties. I don't see how.
How
do you look
at
how much they're paying off? Look at what a 30-year amortized mortgage with, whatever it is, prime minus 0.75 variable rate, $500,000 mortgage. I mean, you're paying like $40,000 a year in payments, and maybe 10 grand is going towards your principal, right?
Nothing is going to go towards your principal anymore. Nothing. You're going to be like, interest only
like
loans.
You're not going anywhere, but you're spending all this money and you're never going to have any relief.
You're going to have nothing.
Constantly always paying off this debt. It's not a good way to live.
But how else do you do it? But hold on a sec. If we go back to these numbers, 14,000 active listings, 8 billion people coming into the country every week. Like, how do prices really come down? Because out of the million people, they're going to fucking flood this place with again, or even if it's 500,000, 300,000. Okay. Like, there's plenty of people to buy 14,000 houses. And out of the 14,000, some of them are ridiculously overpriced and aren't really for sale. Like they're like, how many listings are like, well, if I can get this, then I'll sell, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. But you got to take those out. And then you got to take out the ones that are just not even saleable. Like they're just, the people are so fucking out to lunch with what they have. It's like, that's not even really for sale. And then you got like the dilapidated pieces of shit that are like priced as like you could move in ready or newly renovated, you know? Mm-hmm. So like out of 14,000 homes or 11,000 or 16,000, if you go back, like how do we not absorb what's really actually for sale or saleable, right? Easily with people with money that can actually afford these fucking houses. Mm-hmm. Like do prices actually come down ever? Like, is there actually I know you keep coming up with all these scenarios where the market gets flooded with inventory, but okay, we just added like 18% inventory in 1 month. Do you feel like there's like so much choice out there now that like,
each month we have a whole new wave of people who are going to be renewing their mortgages. each month we have a whole new group of people who have missed 90 days worth of their mortgage payments, right? And all it takes, as we've learned from the past, all it takes is sentiment to change. Investors are out of the market right now, right? As a new Canadian, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, hold on a second. So the market's going down and that my friends all got taken advantage of last year. I'm not going to buy in this market. I'm going to wait. So yeah, the rental market's going to be bullish. The rental market's going to have a lot of people. But investors don't want to buy those rental units.
I think there's lots of investors still out there buying these shitty, faraway rental houses.
Very few. Very, very few.
If you go driving up in like the cottage country now and you actually see who owns the houses, like it's not the white guy from Ontario.
I'm telling you, Daryl, the calls that we're getting, like there's so many people who bought. We got a call from a guy a couple of days ago. I called him yesterday and it was a property that he got a permit to build a house on in a very nice pocket of Toronto. And it was clear that he overpaid for this property. The property sold in 2020 for 1.5 and it's a teardown. And he bought it as a teardown for 2.3.
What?
April 2022. When?
Oh, where? Give it a general.
It's Toronto. The West End. Point. West End. Okay.
2 point something for a building lot? Holy shit. Must
he never
nice
he never
lot.
Got back to me yet. Well, I'll see if he ever, you know, answers the calls because he wants obviously to hear what we can do for him and everything else. But I'm telling you right now, the answer is nothing.
No, but what about our buddy in Cornwall? He's eating up property as much as he can get his hands on.
Yeah, and Cornwall's there's different. A guy, though. Cornwall, there's, the rent
that's where investors
to
are
price
going,
ratio is much higher than anywhere else in Ontario.
Yeah, so maybe but how are the investors not going to come back? Like, even if people don't buy houses, people need to live in houses, and people still want to live in places here. So, like, I really, there's no investors. What about that guy in the comments all the time? What's his name? Franco Teddy? Titi? Franco? So, he sounds like he's buying anything. He's the most bullish guy on the planet.
The other thing, too, is you have to look at how many houses we've actually got. Like, the total inventory right now compared to what the total population is.
Because active listings?
Just properties. So even though we feel like right now we don't have enough properties.
Like actual physical homes, you mean?
Actual physical homes already built, the stock. Right?
Yeah.
There's a ton of properties that are underutilized, not vacant.
Underutilized.
They just got a four-bedroom house that's only got one person living in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so
kick them out.
I'm on my way after today, Gestapo, this afternoon. Take the house out. I'm going to is 5,000 square feet. There's two people in it.
Sorry, you can't live here anymore.
I'm just saying they have.
We should
six
send
bedrooms.
The drones and say, "Listen, like
I'm just
you,
saying,
you should move from here because you're underutilized."
Well, they
want to
move.
Well, fine.
This exists. This is out there, and
no,
so
there's tons of that. Actually,
we don't need to build as much as we think we do.
We have to force people to live with other people they don't want to live with. Potentially,
no. We need to be able to exchange the housing from the older generations who are living in oversized, underutilized properties into the hands of the people who are going to be more efficient with it.
Ooh.
And we're going to see that switch. We've got rooming houses now coming to Toronto. We've got more people willing to live and share. We've got 13 people living across the street from you.
Yeah.
One house.
It died down. It must have been like a special, maybe it was because it was the long weekend. It was Airbnb frenzy or something.
But these are the changes that are going to be way faster, way easier than building a bunch of houses for the people that we need to do. And once that happens, Daryl,
there's no fucking way.
And all these people have got all these issues because of the financing and the different types of structure. Also, all the houses that are out there, where are all the
pills.
Old people moving to?
Pass me some of those happy pills you got there, TK. Where are they moving to? Nowhere. They're going to die in their houses.
Baby boomers? No, they're not. They're leaving town.
Where are they going?
They're
Saskatchewan?
Going to small towns. No, small they're going to Halliburton. Maybe they're going to Saskatchewan. They're going to places that
are
cheaper.
Going to Muskoka to pay 4 mil.
They're looking at their retirement
plan,
and their financial planner is going, all right, well, Jim, based on the cost of living 20 years ago when we started budgeting for your retirement, you need to work for an extra 12 years.
That's right.
Or you can move to...
Oh.
Aurelia. Right?
Aurelia.
And you can retire today. And Jim goes, honey,
get your hat.
I sent in the paperwork.
Get your hat, babe.
We're moving to Aurelia. And I'm dealing with those people right now. Yeah, I'm dealing with a lot of people right now.
This is the thing.
Oversized homes, underutilized, going to be moving into smaller places.
Suburbia.
Outside.
Suburbia with condos.
Less expensive places, seeing, wherever it is.
I'm pretty sure I just saw an ad for like a... First of all, I'm seeing a lot of ads for people selling stuff in Dubai lately. That's kind of interesting. It went like Calgary and then right to Dubai all of a sudden became the next best pick. But I think, we're going to see a spreading out in Ontario. Like, you'll still have the 14,000 houses sold in Toronto. Like, it's still going to keep turning and the prices will stagnate. Maybe they'll drop a little bit, but I don't know. There's too much fucking demand. But we're going to start seeing like condos in Orillia, baby, on the water, right? Mm-hmm. And people are going to start like, maybe they're going to start retiring to fucking Kincardine. There was actually a condo on the water in Kincardine. Or Kincardine, or whatever the hell that fucking place is called. But that's what we're going to start seeing. Midland condos starting at $899 for 475 square feet on the water-ish, across from the water. Well, really, it's across from the water. But hey, you can see the water, TK. Yep. $899.
I got a new listing coming up next week. It's at Don Mills and Lawrence. It's a condo townhouse. 3 bedrooms, 1,000 square feet, something like that.
Don Mills and Lawrence.
Yeah. And the lady's moving to Kingston.
Kingston, Jamaica?
No, Kingston, Ontario.
That'd be smarter. Kingston, Jamaica. But yeah, Kingston, Ontario is probably.
Right? And the house that she bought, she was able to buy with her savings in Kingston.
Yeah.
Move there. Yeah. And then say, okay, yeah, now I can, you know, sell my house here and move on. So these baby boomers got a lot of money.
And they're moving. They're on the move. They're gypsies.
These baby boomers got a lot of money. They got a lot of cash. They're ready to go. And 401k once they
got
start
killed.
Once they start fleeing, and they're fleeing for different reasons. You know, their retirement excuse was one, but a lot of them just don't like the neighborhoods that they've been in for 30 years and they've changed. You know?
I think that we should definitely get used to condos in the small towns, TK, because that's going to be the only place anywhere.
The future of Toronto condos. We have to end the show now, Daryl, but the future of Toronto condos is this, okay? Everyone's going to disagree with me in the comments.
Of Toronto condos?
Rental suites inside your condo.
Whoa!
A rental suite inside your condo.
Yeah, we're just going to add more rooms. Once we close, we'll just add a couple of rooms.
Just throw just put a little bed in the closet that someone could sleep in.
Look, we don't have a traditional kitchen eating area and a dining room, okay? Yeah. We could, but my office is the dining room, TK. We don't need a table here and a table right there. So who needs a living room? I mean, people can have a TV in their bedroom, right? You don't need a living room anymore. You need a kitchen. Fucking room that thing up as best you can without getting in any trouble, right? Nobody has to know. Nobody has to know. $1,300 a room. And you can maybe cash flow.
Maybe. Yeah. You just have to find someone who doesn't, you know, smell too bad. But Daryl, you know what people need to do?
They need to
like, comment, and subscribe. And check out the Canadian Clips channel too. So Canadian Real Estate Show Clips. Check us out. You can
Carish Real Properties.
Small versions of this show. So if you didn't like to listen to the whole hour, don't know why you're hearing this right now if you don't. Yeah. But you can just check us out in the Canadian Real Estate Show Clips channel. Rips. Also, Daryl has got some social media that where are you now, Daryl?
I'm all over. Find you? I'm everywhere. Yeah? Yeah.
Where can they find Assembly
TikTok.
King?
TikTok and TikTok. Threads. Threads. You know what Threads is?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Threads. The Assembly King. Check him out. He's lots
new
of
Twitter.
Lots of good stuff. Drop a comment if you want to get signed up for my newsletter.
Like.
You may or may not, get on the list. I don't know. No promises.
Ooh, exclusive list.
But we'll see you next week and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.